Hero Central, discovering your strength in God. And that is our Vacation Bible School for 2017. And that begins on Monday, July 10th and goes through Friday, July 14th, daily from 8:30 to 11. And that's for ages 3 to 8. And we just encourage you to invite all your neighborhood friends and anyone you know in that age group to come out to VBS and enjoy what God has in store for that time as well. Are there any other announcements that anyone would like to highlight this morning? Yes. So witness to the host city, please bring those items in. And between Pam and I, while I'm traveling as well, we can get the items there. And we greatly appreciate any items you're able to bring to help the host city, which is in Michigan. Would you please rise and join me in our call to worship? We gather with great expectations to sing thy praise. May our lives continually reflect your glory.
May our hearts be filled with joy and share your life with others.
Forever and ever. Amen.
In the pamphlet, it's number 2.
Kingdom come, your will be done. Now that we are your daughters and sons, let the prayer our hearts daily be, God, make us a family. God, make us a family. The eyes of the blind will be opened, of the deaf will hear, the chains of the lame will be broken, streams will flow in desert of fear. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Now we are your daughters and sons, let the care of our hearts daily be, God, make us your family. God, make us your family. The ransomed of the Lord will be turned. The islands will sing God's songs at last. The chaff from the wheat shall be burned. God's kingdom on earth will be come to pass. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Now that we are your families and sons, let the prayer on our hearts daily be, God, make us your family. God, make us your family. Will see their shame. The one true God will die. They'll turn from their fortune and fame. God's holy mountain will be restored. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Now that we daughters and sons, let the prayer on our hearts daily be, God, make us your family. God, make us your family.
As God makes us his family, he gives us the opportunity to share in joys and concerns together. There'll be a microphone coming around. We just ask you to simply raise your hand in the air, and any joys or concerns you may have, we invite you to share with us this morning. We do want to point out in the bulletin, you'll notice that Tim Reinhart, with help from Lois, is now in his home in Kutztown. So we just want to give the Lord a round of applause this morning and celebrate what he's doing in Tim's life. So praise God for what he's done with Tim and the prayers that we've prayed for him and many others. Any other joys or concerns you'd like to uplift this morning?
I have a joy.
Amen. Congratulations. I think we should share more of that story because it was really exciting how it happened. It was on a chocolate slip and slide. So what a great story Abby has of how she fractured her hand. Chocolate slip and slide indeed. You're welcome. Thank you, Burl. Thank you.
Looking at the picture on the bulletin on the front, I turned to the back to see what it would say, if anything about birds. But anyway, the first sentence there says, parents provide many vital roles for their children. Two of the most important are that of protector and nurturer. We have a pair of Canada geese that are spending their summer at our farm,
You have no idea how much that warms my heart to hear the prayers of the congregation. Normally on a weekly basis, it's one or two, and that was just touched my heart. Thank you. That was wonderful. Let's pray. Father, we are just overwhelmed by your presence. We're overwhelmed by the love that you pour out upon us. We know, Father, the mistakes we make on a daily basis, but Father, you just call us back to yourself and you ask us to just confess and to receive forgiveness that is so evident on a daily basis. We thank you, Father, for the creation that you have given us and just the lessons that we can learn from geese and the way that they teach their goslings. We are just so incredibly blessed by your creation and the way that it just moves our hearts to rejoice and to sing of your praises. We know, Father, there are those celebrating births, and we thank you for Patty being a grandmother again, and just pray for your protection and your nurture over that baby and that entire family, as well as every family represented here this morning. Especially be with fathers this morning and allow them to nurture their children, to protect their nest. And we just thank you, Father, for the way you move and continue to move in our midst. We are just so thankful for the way that you continually impress upon us the need to share your love with others, to demonstrate your love to others. And we just think of those suffering this morning, those facing serious illnesses with upcoming surgeries. And we know, Father, that your hand has been upon so many. And we thank you for Tim Reinhardt and the help that his mom Lois gave him. And we just praise you, Father, that he's now home. And we just continue to lift him up in prayer for progress and continued healing. We lift up our dear sister Bonnie, and you know the surgery she faces and the tumor that's being removed. And we just pray that you would guide the surgeon's hands that day. But most of all, you would just cover her with your protection and just allow her to know your presence and your peace as she faces that surgery. But Father, we know you are the master physician, and we just continue to ask if it be your will for Bonnie, for Ruth, for many others that are dealing with cancer and severe illnesses, that your healing touch would be upon them. And we'll praise you no matter what, Father, but we ask if it be your will, and we ask in Jesus' name that that healing would take place. We think of those traveling and lift up Laura, we lift up Amy and the new job she has, and we just pray your mercies upon them. And with Sue moving to Washington State, we ask your blessings on her as well, and just be with her in this transition and let her know that your presence, our thoughts, and our prayers are with her and with Laura and with Amy. And just praise you, Father, for what you do in our lives, the directions that you call us. And we just surrender this morning knowing you have a perfect will for us. We know each day is an opportunity, and when we take hold of that opportunity, there's such a powerful difference we can make in the lives of others. But help us, Father, to smile, because we know that you shine down upon us. And we are just so thankful for those prayer concerns we have, because we can lift them to you by name. And we do so now, Father, lifting up Rufus and Dorothy and Ruth and John and Carl and Faye and Earl and Grace and Carol and Pete and Eugene and Mary and Bonnie and Jenny Luckenbill's nephew and Marlene and Vera and Donovan and Eric and the Repperts and Gene Smith and Abby and the Heckman family and Shirley and her husband for their health. And we just know, Father, that you meet them precisely where they are. We cast our cares, we cast our burdens upon you, and we know that your yoke is easy. And we just pray, Father, that we would just continually turn to you in our struggles in life, knowing that you carry us through those most difficult times. But we praise you, Father, for the work that you're doing among us. We think of those that are following your call and answering that call to serve in ministry ways, and we just praise you for that opportunity for each of us to be able to serve in a way that you have gifted us and talented us. And we just pray that we would hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant," at the end of our lives. But we just praise you for this moment, for we know that this moment won't happen again. And we take this opportunity just to share the concerns of our hearts with you in silent prayer, and also to confess our sins. So we pray now, Father, in the moments of silence, you would hear our prayers. Father, we continually thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, that you allowed your one and only Son to pay the price for our sins, every single one of us, everyone in this universe, that our sins would be forgiven if we trust, if we believe, if we have faith, and know that you rose from the grave. You appeared to so many, the evidence is so real. And we just praise you this morning, Father, for that forgiveness through the cross and that opportunity to share an eternal life with you in heaven. And we pray that we would bring heaven here on this earth as we interact with others. May we always be filled with joy because we know our salvation. And amidst our suffering, amidst our pain, amidst our sorrows, may we know the joy we have because of what you have accomplished. So we just turn to you, Father, and continue to praise you this morning with all of our being. We surrender this day to you. We surrender this week to you. And we ask that you would especially bless fathers, bless men in this congregation. Allow them to know the role that you have called them to be spiritual leaders in their household. And we just pray, Father, your will would be accomplished. And we thank you for your son. We thank you for this place, Little Sotara. And we pray your spirit would continue to move. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. In Proverbs 8:12, the Message version, it reads, "My benefits are worth more than a big salary, even a very big salary. The returns on me exceed any imaginable bonus." A bonus is something extra, more than we have been promised or deserved, over and above what is expected. We can get so excited when we receive a bonus at work, even a few $100s, yet we seem to completely miss the extravagant bonus we get from God. An earthly bonus is generally not undeserved at all. We usually have worked exceptionally hard for it, but the reward from our Heavenly Father is truly unearned and undeserved. Get excited, accept the gift, and share your good fortune with others. Would you pray with me? We thank you, Father, for this incredible opportunity to get excited. We've received the gift of salvation, and now we know the abundance of blessings that you have provided us, both materially and financially. And we ask now, Father, that the cheerfulness would flow from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet as we give to this congregation that impacts this community and world. May you be blessed in our giving, and it's in Jesus' name. Amen.
one hand. So he's going to hold up papers, and you are going to, we're going to learn about this mystery person, all right? You're going to, I'm going to say a letter. He's going to hold it up, place it down front. And congregation, when I say the letter, you guys repeat after me, okay? All right. Are you guys ready for this?
Yeah.
All right. Give me an F. I can't hear you guys. Do it again. No, congregation, I need you guys' help. I want you guys to help. Give me an F. There we go. F is for forgiving. Even when we disobey or do something wrong, this person is always willing to forgive. Give me an A. A is for attentive. When we need someone to talk to, this person is always willing to listen to what we have to say. Give me a T. T is for teacher. This person teaches us the most important lessons in our life. He teaches us right from wrong. He teaches us how to be an example and how to love one another. Give me an H. H is for helpful. This person helps us to make the important decisions we face each and every day. He may offer us advice, or he may just be a good listener, but he is always there to help us. Give me an E. E is for energetic. No matter how tired he is, this person always seems to find the energy to do the things with us and for us. Give me an R. R is for ready. This person is always ready to reach out in love to us. He is ready to do whatever we need. What's that spell?
Father.
Now, I realize some of you might not actually have a father, but realize we always have the Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father does everything our earthly father does too, and he teaches the earthly father how to do all this stuff. Let's pray. Dear God, we are thankful for our fathers. Help us this day to show our love and appreciation to our fathers. And may we always remember to thank you, our Heavenly Father. Amen. You guys can go back to your seats. Thanks for joining me.
It's always so wonderful to have the children join us up front for the children's moment. Well, today we do celebrate fathers, and we say thank you for being you. Thank you for being the difference in so many lives, for the late night chats, the right words when we needed them, and the strength to carry us through those trying times. I gotta tell you, one of my favorite memories with my dad was spotting deer. Have any of you ever spotted deer before? Yeah, pretty exciting, right? It wouldn't be unusual back in the day to count 40 deer in a field. Now, as you may very well know, it's not always deer that you see. There were always those glowing eyes you couldn't quite identify. Well, one particular night, the curiosity got the best of us. We got as close as we possibly could to those glowing eyes, and then it happened. The stench, the smell was unbearable. We both gagged and we laughed the entire way to the car wash. Needless to say, we'll never forget those glowing eyes of a skunk. You could say it was a mistake chasing after the unknown. But we all make mistakes, don't we? As men, we hate to admit it. But there's times we make that costly mistake that's way more than we were willing to pay. We live with regrets. We'd do anything to take it back and do it over. And that's exactly where we find ourselves today in Genesis 25, with the story familiar to many of us of Jacob and Esau, two brothers who had a great difficulty of dealing with one another. If you have a Bible, we'd invite you to turn there to Genesis 25. We'll be in verses 19 to 28 to begin. Genesis 25, 19 to 28. This is the account of Abraham's son Isaac. Abraham became the father of Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah, daughter of Bethuel, and Aramean from Padan Aram, and sister of Laban the Aramean. Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was barren. The Lord answered his prayer, and his wife Rebekah became pregnant. The babies jostled each other within her, and she said, "Why is this happening to me?" So she went to inquire of the Lord. The Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb, and two people from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger." When the time came for her to give birth, there were twin boys in her womb. The first to come out was red, and his whole body was like a hairy garment. So they named him Esau. After this, his brother came out with his hand grasping Esau's heel. So he was named Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when Rebekah gave birth to them. The boys grew up, and Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the open country, while Jacob was a quiet man, staying among the tents. Isaac, who had a taste for wild game, loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Once, when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau came in from the open country, famished. He said to Jacob, "Quick, let me have some of that red stew. I'm famished." That is why he was also called Edom. Jacob replied, "First, sell me your birthright." "Look, I'm about to die," Esau said. "What good is the birthright to me?" But Jacob said, "Swear to me first." So he swore an oath to him, selling his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil stew. He ate and drank and then got up and left. So Esau despised his birthright. We went through verse 34. So envision this with me. One of the patriarchs of the Jewish faith and promised son of Abraham and his wife Rebekah have twins. The first to arrive is Esau, which, by the way, we can infer means hairy. The second was Jacob, grasping at Esau's heels. His name actually means grasps the heel. This paints an unfolding picture we'll see. Friends, the troubles didn't end at birth. The firstborn, Esau, was his father's favorite, a common issue. And as we can guess, Jacob was his mother's favorite. Time passes, they grow up, Esau becomes a mighty hunter, a man of man's, bad to the bones, but not so fast. He's not as awesome as you may think. Commentators point out hunting wasn't even necessary when you owned large flocks of sheep. There was plenty to eat. But this may very well mean Esau was always away hunting, as opposed to being at home helping with the chores and the sheep. We may say Esau was a bit irresponsible. We know for a fact from scriptures he was very impulsive. So as we continue in the verses, here's what we see. Esau had been out hunting, and he comes home starving. He was so starved, in fact, that he thought he would die if he didn't eat something. Now, that's very unlikely, but that's how he felt. And here's what happens when people act on how they feel. It's happened to us before, and it costs us way more than we expect. It's curiosity that gets us into trouble. It's why compromise can't even be a word in our vocabulary. Well, Jacob knew this, and he plays let's make a deal with his brother. Jacob, who was perhaps the brighter child, definitely craftier, and a mama's boy, stayed home and cooked. And guess what? Jacob gets the deal of a lifetime. Esau staggers into camp and wants what's cooking. Jacob, using lentils, offering bread, Esau gets a fairly good meal out of it.
But friends, it comes at the cost of his birthright. If you have an emoji on your phone for sad, this is where you'd type it. This birthright was a serious thing. It gave whoever owned it three things: a superior rank in his family, a double portion of the paternal inheritance, which simply means all the children shared the inheritance, but the firstborn, the one who normally had the birthright, received a portion twice as big as the others. Not a bad deal at all. So say there's five children, the inheritance would have been divided into six parts. The guy with the birthright received two and the others one. But there was still a third benefit: the priestly office in the family. What that means is responsibility before God. This birthright was never something to be treated lightly. But friends, that's exactly what Esau did. As the favored son, he could have very well gone to another tent for a meal, but he didn't. And that's our point this morning. We want what we want when we want it, and nothing will stop our determination. Or shall we use the word stubbornness? We all have crossed paths with a few people like that. They stop at nothing and it costs them everything. We have to realize he's already married two foreign pagan women, which made his family even more sad to no end. It's no wonder if you turn to the New Testament, the book of Hebrews calls him godless. He lived for the moment, and he trades the most valuable thing he has for some beans and bread. Friends, this is perhaps the second most expensive meal ever recorded in the Bible, only to be outbid by the forbidden fruit eaten in the Garden of Eden. But you know, Esau isn't the only guy who paid too much for stew. Men have tendencies, don't they? We're almost predictable. We pay for our jobs with our family. We allow it to take everything we have. No effort, no energy, no time is left to develop an intimate marriage or to train up a child in the way they should go. We pay a heavy price for the moment, the wrong choice that takes us down the wrong road. We don't talk about it much in the church, but pornography has cost many men and women very much. And let's not even get started with the love of money. And what cost is too much to enjoy the pleasures of life? I realized this past week while I was in nature, it's the everyday things God has blessed us with that bring the most joy. It can't be any more true that we need to stop and smell the roses. You see, friends, Esau undervalued what was important. He overvalued something only temporary. And herein lies the temptation. There's something to be said for the moment. When we're so focused on what's in front of us that we forget about that relationship with God and our families, we begin to make those self-destructive decisions. I get the fact things get tricky at times in our families, even in our marriages. But I'm totally convinced we don't have to sell our blessings for a cheap bowl of stew. Remember that story at the beginning about the glowing eyes? We thought we'd be okay to get a closer look. But the stench that resulted from that decision, without considering the risk, we didn't begin to count the cost. Friends, fathers in particular, realize the blessings God has given you. Not only a relationship with him, but your family, your friends. And fathers, may we start to think before we trade them for something with far less value. So we'd like to make a transition at this point and ask ourselves this question: are we willing to be designated for distinction?
There's a Hebrew word used for man, which is ish. It means male. Friends, God calls out to men to stand in the gap on behalf of our nation, our community, our church, and especially our families. It's evident, completely evident in the world today. God needs a few good men to build a hedge, to be holy, to hold back the tide of judgment. A man who doesn't laugh at sin, but has character and integrity. And here's what we believe and what we have found to be true. When a man steps into his holy place and won't back down, time after time, there will be revival. There will be deliverance in our nation, in our communities, in our church, and in our families. We need men to stand up, to set up, to pay up, to store up, to speak up, to pray up, to read up, to rise up, to hold up, and to look up. As a matter of fact, we know that the word male means designated and marked for distinction. If you accept this challenge, men, I want to hear you say, I've been marked for distinction. I've been marked for distinction. Women, you play a huge role and have been designated for a purpose and a plan as well. But the question still remains this morning. Are we willing to fill our role? There's no greater time than this that the church cannot sit on the sidelines. Men, we have to understand something. The enemy knows that we've been designated for distinction, so we can be guaranteed that the attack is on. We'll be tempted time and time again to fix our eyes on the moment, to go after the better deals. You see, the enemy knows when men are in their place, he can't win. He knows that when we fill our roles as being the husband, the father, and the spiritual leader of our homes, he shall be defeated. I wonder, what would happen if a man-eating lion came through those back doors right now? Would he starve to death? Or would he have a feast? And my prayer this morning is that that man-eating lion would starve. You see, when the man doesn't fill the role of the spiritual head at home, he's out of place. And when that happens, the wife becomes displaced. And the children become misplaced. And friends, ultimately what happens, God becomes replaced. Just look at what happened to Adam and Eve. God gives Adam, the man, the instructions concerning the fruit of the tree. He's to instruct his wife, but he's out of place. Eve encounters the enemy, and Adam stands by and watches. Friends, he doesn't do a thing. He doesn't step in to rebuke the enemy. He doesn't protect his wife. In essence, she's acting as the head. She becomes displaced. She gives to the man instead of the man giving to her, and the cycle begins. The birth of Cain and Abel, and they become misplaced. Cain rises up and kills Abel. And finally, we know how it ends. God is replaced. Cain moves to Nod, which means to wander or stray. He goes out of the presence of God. 1 John 3:12 says, he was a child of the devil. And friends, all as a result of the man not filling his role. I need you to hear me on this, men. We are the ones who are responsible. We are the ones who will be held accountable. When God came to the garden after they ate from the tree, notice, he didn't call for Eve. He called for Adam, the man who was to be responsible. Guys, we're the ones who should instruct our wife and children about the consequences of sin and disobedience. Yet there's times we see men get caught up in the moment, and before we know it, wives are doing the discipline. They're leading the devotions, and they're being the spiritual directors we were called to be. Now I get the fact there are many of us here this morning who have answered that call to be real men. But I pray that we would stand up and we would protect our nest. I leave you with this story about a man who went into the South American jungle to hunt, and he hears the cries of a bird fluttering over its nest. In the nest, he could see the female and several baby birds. He soon realizes the reason for the cries was a poisonous snake. This snake slowly slithers towards the nest, determined to make a meal of this family. The hunter quickly grabs his gun and he prepares to shoot. But then he decides to watch what happens next. What he sees shocks him and forms our takeaway for today. The male bird comes out of nowhere, and he flies into the nest with a small leaf-covered twig, which he carefully places over the nest. The male was calm and quiet as he perched on an upper branch to watch that snake. It crawled, it slithered closer and closer to the nest, and it prepared to strike. But as the snake drew back, its head reversed as if a blow had struck him. It quickly retreats, and when it's gone, curiosity gets the best of the hunter. He needs to get to that nest to grab that twig to find out why that happened. He takes it to a local native, and what he learns is astonishing. That twig was from a bush that is deadly poison to a snake. The very sight, the very odor of that twig will cause them to flee. Friends, there's no greater time than this to pull the leaf of God's word, God's presence, and our personal relationship with Him over our families. We know that in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the enemy must flee. You see, the snake can't strike when the nest is covered. Fathers, know this. We're designated with distinction as the ones who are called to shield and to protect the nest. As a family of God, may we join together in supporting the men, supporting one another, that the goodness of God may flow forth. Let's not settle for a cheap bowl of stew. Please rise for our closing hymn. Thank you.
Now may the Lord Jesus bless your soul and strengthen your faith. Let this hour of worship grow within you and bear fruit, which will remain for life eternal. Amen.